Hello and welcome to Shield of Faith, the program by the Wanderer Online to promote the authentic new evangelization. I'm Raymond DeSouza. We're investigating the claim of divinity made by the carpenter of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. We have seen that if Jesus' claim of divinity was true, then the religion he founded would be unique and infinitely superior to all the others. As God incarnate, he would be the very one whom all men are called to worship. Other religions, regardless of the elements of truth they may have, some more, some less, would be mere man-made philosophies. So the purpose of this series of episodes is to demonstrate that, far beyond Jesus' awareness of his divinity, he actually claimed publicly to be divine. And because of that claim, he was, quote, betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they condemned him to death and delivered him to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, unquote, Matthew 20:18-19. The following are some of the divine attributes that Jesus clearly claimed to possess. First of all, he claimed to be the Son of Man, a messianic title, who would come in his majesty and all the angels with him, and all the nations shall be gathered together before him, and he shall separate them one from another. Matthew 25:31-46. Now, since only God could know the minds, intentions, and deeds of all the billions of people throughout history, and judge them accordingly, reward or punish them as they deserve, Jesus claimed to possess a divine knowledge. How could he know all of that? Or at least, how could he claim to know all of that? He also claimed to be God, the lawmaker, because in the Sermon on the Mount, he referred to the law of God given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he added new perfections to the commandments. That is to say, he improved on God's law. For example, on human life, he said, "You have heard that it was said to them of old, thou shalt not kill. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment." So he changed and perfected the commandment that defends life, the fifth commandment. Notice, he didn't say, God bids me to tell you this, or thus saith the Lord. No. He said, I say to you, since I am speaking on my own authority. So he claimed divine authority to change the commandments of God by developing on their meaning, extension, and actual application to human behavior. And here again, when he said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you," and he went on to introduce another perfection in the commandment. And further on, he said, "You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and shalt hate thine enemy. But I say to you," again, he introduced a further perfection of the same commandment then follows. It's amazing. Here he is, Jesus Christ, changing God's law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Again, on the sixth commandment on adultery, he said, "You have heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt not commit adultery." Now remember, please, it was God the Father who said that to the ancients, to Moses and the 12 tribes. Then he says, "But I say to you that anyone who so much as looks with lust at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart." He changed the commandment. He perfected the commandment. On the issue of divorce, he said, "It was said, moreover, whoever puts away his wife, let him give her a written notice of dismissal. But I say to you that everyone who puts away his wife, save on account of immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And he who marries her who has been put away commits adultery." Here we have another change into the commandment, another perfection of the same commandment. On the issue of being faithful to the truth, he said, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt never swear falsely, but fulfill thy oaths to the Lord. But I say to you," and again he comes to perfect the commandment of God. So conclusion on this part is that he himself said, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have come not to destroy, but to fulfill." To fulfill means precisely what it says, that is, to fill it up to the full, to finish the work, to bring it to its final perfection. Then he said at the end, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is more. He claimed to be God, the Lord of the Sabbath. In Matthew 12:8, the Pharisees accused the disciples of Jesus of having violated the Sabbath. And he replied, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Now, you see, the keeping of the Sabbath in Jewish theology and law has to do with the third commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. Yahweh is the Lord of the Sabbath, and Jesus claimed to be the Lord of the Sabbath as well. He claimed to be God the Son, one in nature with the Father. For example, in Caesarea Philippi, when Peter said that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to him that he was blessed, because it was not flesh and blood who had revealed that to him, that is to say, people, flesh and blood, but his Father who was in heaven. Matthew 16:17. So here he explicitly claims that the relationship of sonship he had with the Father was not like everybody else, because we are all sons of God by adoption, but his relationship was so special that it required a revelation from God the Father to Peter. He was the Son par excellence, who shares in the nature of his Father. You see also in the parable of the vineyard, Luke 20:9-19. There he makes the same claim, that he is the Son of the Lord of the vineyard. Now the Pharisees wanted to kill him for that. Why? Because in their tradition, Israel was the vineyard of the Lord. And Jesus claimed that the vineyard caretakers, the Jewish authorities, would betray their mission and kill the very Son of the Lord of the vineyard, who was the living God himself. They put him to the test when they asked him that precise question. Are you the Christ, the Son of the living God? I am, he replied, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God and coming with the clouds of heaven. They accused him of blasphemy right there and then, and he therefore deserved to be punished with death. Why? Because he claimed to be the Son of God, one in nature with the Father, and not just to have the kind of sonship that we all have. That's in Mark 14:61-64. Thank you for joining us, and join us again next week for another episode of The Wanderer Online, when we investigate the claim of divinity by the carpenter of Nazareth. God bless you. I'm Raymond de Souza.